Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
And we're live. Ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, I'd like to introduce you an author, a friend of mine. I don't know how long we've been friends, but a friend of mine, Laura Henley. She wrote The Content That Converts. Say hi, Laura.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Anytime. Yeah, so a little backstory. I've seen that Laura is throwing an event, like a workshop, around traffic and conversions. And unfortunately, I can't go. But the second thing I thought I could do was get you on the podcast, and we can talk about what's happening at that event, what you've been up to, and hopefully we can get some tips for the listeners on how they can, I don't know, make some money from writing a book. I think that's the whole point of it.
Sure. Yeah. So basically the idea of the event is, so I ghostwrite books for entrepreneurs and publish them and help them go through the whole process of getting them listed on all of the different platforms and doing all of the marketing and everything. And for a lot of people, that's just not a feasible project to undertake at this point in their business. So what I wanted to teach was the process for people who want to write a book and want to get it out there, because it is a really powerful tool for entrepreneurs to have. And I wanted to make it a little bit more accessible for people who don't know where to begin.
When you said you put the book up on different platforms, which platforms are those?
So getting it listed on all of the Amazon platforms. So you've got CreateSpace, which does the physical copies, Kindle, which does obviously the ebook copy, and then as well on Audible if you wanted to have an audio version. And then with some of the big bookstore chains, you can also list it on their online stores if you sort of know how to go through that process.
Interesting. Yeah, most of the stuff I've been putting out through my company has been through Amazon too. And I find CreateSpace actually has grown much more than Kindle lately. Audible, haven't touched that much. I know through CreateSpace, we do get a lot of sales through like the libraries and some of the extended distribution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't touched the other stuff. Have you tried like Barnes & Nobles and any, or like, what is it? I think Smashwords, like any of those?
Yeah, so I mean, it sort of depends on what the purpose of the book is. So if you're just trying to get it out for maximum distribution with no real market in mind, then getting it up on those Barnes & Nobles and Smashwords and things can be helpful. But you've got to be pretty focused about how you market it, because it's not really one of those build it and they will come type things. Like, people really have to know about it, and you have to kind of find your readers in all of the different platforms like Facebook and Twitter, you know, millions of places that you can find readers, right? But you've got to have a pretty clear strategy to get it in front of a general audience if you're going to make the Barnes & Noble Smashwords thing worthwhile. For most people writing a book for their business, Amazon and its various platforms is going to be the most useful, just because you can. It's very easy for all readers to go there. And it's also very easy for you to watch the metrics and it's just a little bit more accessible.
In your opinion, who should write a book in the first place?
So I think that anyone, specifically B2B entrepreneurs and people with sort of more agency style businesses, do really well with books. I think if you're consumer facing, it's a little bit more difficult, just because most consumer brands are not... The customer is not as invested in the process of the business. Whereas, say, if you have an ad agency, then a book is a really great opportunity to differentiate yourself from all of the other ad agencies out there. It gives you an opportunity to say why you're different and how you have like built up your expertise, what sort of separates your way of doing things from everybody else in the market. So I think specifically for people who are dealing with other businesses, it's really powerful.
what are some strategies that you found work when it comes to marketing these books and actually having them help? Because I have an agency and I thought about that too. Like, if I wrote a book, you know, that's an entire business of its own to get that out.
Yeah, it can be. And I think the most important thing that I found is marketing the book from the beginning of production. So as soon as you start writing the book, start marketing it. Because if you wait, you know, say it takes you 6 months to write the book, that's 6 months of missed opportunity that you, you know, just kind of let pass you by. So it's really important that once you start writing, that you kind of start building a community of interest around it. Maybe you update your email list to let them know that you're writing this thing and you'd love them to be involved. So I personally started a Facebook group when I wrote my book, and that was really powerful. And it's not even a huge group, but it's, you know, it's hundreds of people who are very interested and invested in the book, because there are multiple moments throughout the production process where you can get that audience really involved. So you can help them, have them help you choose a title, a cover, you know, have a few of them volunteer to be early readers and have them make suggestions on the material as you're producing it. So the audience really builds this sense of ownership in the project, and they become invested themselves in seeing it succeed. So when you launch, they're going to be much more likely to share it and buy it, make, like, leave reviews. And that kind of groundswell right at the launch is really important, because Amazon particularly relies very much on, like, the immediate reaction to the book to sort of place it within its algorithm. So if you've got lots of purchases and lots of reviews at the beginning, then you're going to have a much better chance of getting on the bestseller list, of showing up more predictably in the search algorithm. Like, when people search for a particular topic, the book will rise to the top of the results more quickly. And then if you can sustain that, obviously, like, consistent flow of purchases and reviews, then it's going to maintain that momentum for a long time. So getting that initial groundswell is really important. I'd say that's the thing that most people miss. So if you start marketing the day you launch, you've already kind of missed the boat.
When I looked at the workshop, I think it's 3 days, correct?
2 days.
2 days, yeah. It was broken up in a couple different parts. So I imagine you have some kind of a blueprint or step-by-step process that you take everyone through. Can you kind of go over some of these steps, so that people can maybe understand a little better what it takes from beginning to end, like, from getting an idea for the book and the steps it takes until they actually get some return from it?
Sure. So the process that I go through with all of my clients is to, very first thing you need to do is define what you're going to write, obviously. And so to do that, you kind of need to understand what function the book is going to serve in your business. So some people will use it as a lead gen tool. Other people will use it as a way to get, say, podcast interviews and speaking engagements. Other people will use it as a way to, you know, build just general kind of market awareness of their brand. There are a lot of different ways you can use it. But if you have a North Star, so to speak, when you, like, before you start writing, it's going to be really helpful. So once you've got this clear idea of how it's going to fit into your business, then you want to map out an outline, a really detailed outline of everything you want to talk about. So kind of the key, say, chapter topics that you want to talk about, and then the key points that would fit within each of those chapters. And then you want to sort of dive into how you're going to do the marketing. Obviously, because I feel that marketing from the beginning is so important, once you've got the outline done, I think, like, don't start writing yet. Just work on the marketing first. Give yourself kind of a clear plan, some sort of milestones along a timeline that you can hit, so that as you start writing, you also know when you've got to be marketing and sort of how to divide up your time. You've also got to be clear on who your reader is, and it's a lot like customer avatar development, so getting a clear idea of who you're talking to, and sort of how you're going to find those people, how you're going to communicate with them effectively. Once you've got that kind of strategic stuff dialed in, then you can go into the production, so how to actually get the words out, you know, the strategies that you need to you know, produce enough material to make a good book, how to go through editing and formatting and the actual publication process, and then sort of the key marketing things to do at launch and then into the future. So there's obviously quite a lot that goes into it, and that's why it's, you know, a multi-day thing, and there's a lot of accountability and a lot of sort of ongoing support that people coming to the workshop will get. So yeah, it's a big undertaking, and that's why I'm sort of trying to make it a little bit more accessible for people who maybe don't know where to start.
Very cool. You mentioned the marketing plan before writing the book. What would go into that marketing plan?
So I think that podcasts are one of the best ways to market your book, because there's, you know, there are tons of podcasts out there. People are always looking for guests, and there's, you know, very targeted audiences to a lot of podcasts. And so if you can land a few interviews with people who have the right audience for you, that can, again, create that big groundswell at launch time, especially if you can coordinate the interviews to go live sort of around the time that the book becomes available. So a big strategy is making your sort of hit list or your dream list of podcasts to be on, and start reaching out to those people early so that you have an established relationship with them, and then it's easy for them to say yes or, you know, please come on my podcast. There's also, as I said, building up your community, getting them really involved. Hand outreach goes a really long way to getting a book in front of people. So just reaching out to the relevant people in your network or influencers in your space who can start sort of lending some support to it, maybe giving you input as well so that they also have a sense of ownership, setting up things like guest posts on blogs and social media coverage. You know, there's a multi-step process, and you sort of want to hit every type of platform that you can, so that when your book launches, there's this surround sound effect for your ideal readers. You know, ideally they would just see it everywhere they go. You know, every channel they're following, you want your book to be featured.
Take us through your journey a little bit, because you did write a book. It is helping you get business. So maybe walk us through some of the mistakes that you've made and some of the milestones. You know, just show people like the evolution of when you were growing with your book and business.
Sure. So I actually started out with a content marketing business about 3 years ago, and I'd been doing all of the blogging and copywriting and everything, and that was great. But obviously that model requires a lot of constant work and constant output. And I thought, I need to find a way that's going to make it easier for me to get bigger clients so that I don't have to spend, you know, 12 or 15 hours a day writing for all of these smaller clients. So I thought, right, I'm going to write a book about how I do it. And then hopefully that will bring in people who see the value of what I'm doing. It will help me get past a few of those gatekeepers. It will help me kind of cut through with a bit of a pattern interrupt. You know, if you can send a physical copy of a book to somebody with a note saying, I think chapter 4 would be a great strategy for your business, it's going to be much easier for them to say yes to working with you, because you've already proven that you know what you're talking about. So I wrote this book in 2016, and I launched it in October, and it had well and truly paid for itself by December. So when I say that, I mean all of the time and money that I spent producing it had been paid back in full, with new client acquisition by December. So, and that has meant that over time I phased out the blogging and the copywriting and just was able to focus on writing books, which is what I'm really good at. So it's been a really powerful tool, and it has gotten me lots of podcast interviews and speaking events. And it's completely transformed how I approach my business and the kind of client that I'm able to work with. So I, like, for me, it's been really powerful, and I hear story after story of people who have written their own books just completely transforming their business within a space of a few months after publishing.
How long did it take to write that book?
It took me 6 weeks.
That's not bad.
No, it's not.
How did you do that?
I can just write a lot. So I feel, you know, for me, a good day is 3,000 or 4,000 words of quality output. Most people realistically will get through, you know, 1,000 words a day. And that's like, for most people running their own business, even that is sometimes a stretch. So, but, you know, my whole job is to write. So that's basically all I do all day.
Yeah, I'm in the 1,000 word club.
Yeah, and I think actually if you're still running all of your other stuff, that's actually a really solid thing to aim for. If you're writing a book that's, you know, to give you context, most business books are within between 40,000 and 60,000 words. So if you write 1,000 words a day, then realistically within 2 months you could have your draft written.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I always feel like the other content, like the podcasts and YouTube stuff, just is so much easier to produce. But yeah, there's something definitely to be said about writing a book. You know, we have this other business where we create online courses for speakers and authors, like experts. And the one thing I always hear from them is that, you know, you don't write the book to make money. You write the book to get the speaking gigs that will pay, and then you want to create something else, a service or a course or something, to actually make money without going to these speaking events.
Sure.
You know, when you mentioned the business to business, I'm kind of curious about this. How would you utilize that book? Because I guess you have to get it in the hands of the right business owners, because it's a B2B thing, right? So how would you go about that part?
So you can do it a few different ways. And I've seen clients do it in that they get an opt-in, like an email opt-in, and then immediately send sample chapters from the books and say, if you want us to send you a physical copy of the book, just hit reply with your best address and we'll send you a free copy. So they get, you know, say a 50% response rate because the people are already interested and they've gotten something really valuable right up front. If you can send them a copy of the book, then, you know, it's a much easier sell, as I said earlier, to say, you know, this is going to be really effective for your business. So once someone has read the book, they're going to know your approach, trust you a lot more, and it kind of gives you an immediate opening to make them an offer. So say you send a physical copy of the book, 2 weeks later you can call them and say, hey, what did you think of the book? What do you think would be most relevant for your business? Oh, okay, that's interesting. Would you like us to do that for you? It's a very natural way to kind of generate a sales conversation. Other people do it through say going on podcasts and making specific offers to that audience. So for example, if I were to say, hey Tom, let me offer your audience, you know, a free copy of the book, I'll cover all the cost of sending physical copies out or sending Kindle copies. I'll do that for free for your audience. And then I can really tailor that offer based on what you and I have talked about or stuff that I know that your audience is really interested in. Another way, as I said earlier, is just hand sending it to your ideal clients. So I know somebody who wrote a book and then made a list of 100 ideal clients. So he went really, really deep on finding the people that matched his criteria for the perfect client exactly, sent all of them a physical copy. So it's a little bit of an investment, but it's relatively to what you stand to earn from that, very small. And then, you know, invited them to a call afterwards. So there are a lot of different ways you can do it. It's really only limited by your own creativity and the approach that works for your business. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you can get it in the right hands.
Which of these strategies has worked best for you?
For me, it would be the hand outreach. I also am a big fan of the personal kind of element. I think sending a physical copy to somebody and saying, hey, I think this is going to really work well for you. Let me know if you'd like to talk about it. That's worked really well for me. And, you know, I try to go to a lot of marketing events and a lot of business events. So every time I go, I just take a few copies with me. And if I meet somebody that I think, like, I could really help you, then I give them a copy of the book and say, read through this. Let me know if anything jumps out and we'll talk about how we can make it work for you.
You know, I've had some people do that to me. That does seem to work. And I remember every single one of them, and we're friends pretty much with everyone. Yeah, the handout approach is really good. You mentioned that you're now a ghostwriter. What is that like?
Mm-hmm. I love it. So basically, it means a lot of people are not really sure what that means. So basically, it means that I work with entrepreneurs to take all of their ideas and expertise and turn that into a book. So they tell me over the course of, you know, several hours of interviews, everything that they would want to communicate into a book. And then I take all of that material and go and sort of translate it into their book. So basically I help, it's their story and their voice completely. I just put the words down. So that kind of keeps me occupied at the moment. I've done, I think, 7 or 8 books at this point, so kind of getting into a good rhythm with it, and I can do about, I usually aim for 4 books a year at this point, so it's 1 per quarter. So yeah, I love it. It's the right kind of rhythm for me, and it's very satisfying work because you can see these really tangible results within a couple of months of each book being published.
What is that process like?
So usually, as I said, we sort of start with this strategic stuff, developing how the business is going to fit into their, how the book is going to fit into their business, how it's going to be marketed, who the reader is, and then we go and develop this outline. So we kind of map out what each of the chapters are going to be and all of the material that needs to be included there. So, you know, their experience, the insights they've had, you know, all of the stuff that makes their approach unique and makes them sort of stand out from their competition, that all goes in. And I'm a big believer in kind of including the secret sauce. So a lot of people have fears that if they include the stuff that really separates them from their competitors, that their competitors are going to be really looking for that information. They're going to be able to use it and kind of catch up on that advantage. But there are a couple of things that I always tell people, which is if your competitors read your book, which in a lot of cases is unlikely, if they do read it, they're going to be so far behind you in this strategy that even if they do change their entire model, which is also unlikely, they're going to have a long time to catch up to you. And no matter how carefully they try to replicate your process, they're going to get varying results because they're just coming from different places and they're not doing this in a kind of natural way, whereas you've done it organically. So I think there's a lot of fear in giving away all of your best information, but if you're going to write a book, you really have to do it. Because I think readers can sense when you're not giving them the whole story, particularly if they go off and try to replicate your results themselves and it doesn't work. So you've got to be kind of ready to give away the farm. Once you've mapped out the outline and everything, then we book in a series of calls. I interview them, usually 1 call per chapter is how I try to do it. So we talk about a particular subject. We go really, really deep on it. I just ask them every question that I can think of. We get lots of examples and stories, and I kind of pay very close attention to the language they use, their phrasing, and the kind of the way they talk about themselves and their customers, so that when I'm writing, it sounds really natural. And then once all of those interviews are complete, I just go off and write for, you know, a month or 6 weeks or however long it takes. And then we go into production. And yeah, as I said earlier, it's sort of just going through the formatting, the publication process and getting it listed everywhere, and then overseeing all of their marketing as well.
After writing 7 or 8 books now, you probably have a formula or a template that you sort of use for how the book should flow.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So the most important thing is that it's logical. If you're jumping back and forth between topics and there's not kind of a sequential flow to it, it's very disorienting for the reader. So you want to make sure that you kind of flow in a sequence between each topic. So let's say you're talking about marketing. You would talk about the principles of marketing first, some basic applications, then some more complex applications, some examples, and, you know, there's kind of a gradual increase in the complexity of the topics. Whereas if you start really complex and then go really simple and then come back to complex and back to simple, it's just very confusing. So you want to make sure that there's always a clear line of thinking through the book. So I call this the golden thread, and it's basically something that unravels progressively throughout the book, that the reader can follow along and always see where you've come from and where you're going.
Do you use a lot of open loops?
I use some. I think there's a balance with open loops. You can, you know, make people a little, it can be tiring for people to keep track of all of the open loops, especially if they're nested and you've got multiple open loops within multiple open loops. It can get quite confusing. So I think, you know, like when you're doing copywriting, you don't want it to be too clever or too cute or whatever, because you just lose people. It's the same with a book. You know, you've got to make sure that it's obvious what you're talking about. You don't want people ever to be guessing at your meaning or trying to work out if there's some hidden message behind the actual words. So yeah, I think it's always better to err on the side of simplicity and clarity than trying to be clever.
Do you use any copywriting techniques to make people read more?
Oh, definitely. So I used to work in a publishing house, and one of the most common things I would see between the books that did well and the books that completely bombed would be that the author didn't know how to get the reader to follow on from one sentence to the next. And, you know, again, it's the same in copywriting. The job of each sentence is to get the person to read the next sentence. And so when you're writing, you want to make sure that you're structure is very tight, so there's not a lot of like wasted words, not lots of filler that is going to make people bored. And you know, sometimes that can mean the book is a little bit shorter because you haven't puffed it up with tons of kind of useless material, but it's going to be a much more engaging and effective read for the person who picks it up than if it's just full of waffle. So, and you know, you probably have experienced this yourself. You read a book and you're like, I don't even know what this person is talking about. There's just like tons of rubbish in here. I just want the core facts. So I always try to make each sentence just sell the person on going on to the next sentence and the next.
Yeah, I find a lot of the recent books can be summed up in a sentence or two, which is sad.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think this is one thing that is really important is if your idea would be better presented as an article, just write the article and market the hell out of it. Just put it everywhere you can, get lots of coverage. Don't write a book. If you have to like puff it out heaps to make it book length, then do your audience a favor and save yourself the work. If you've got a lot to say and it's a complex thing, or, you know, it's a really big area that you're talking about, then yeah, write a book, because there's going to be enough material there that you don't need to puff it up. But if you've just got one core idea that's, you know, 2,000 words, just make it a long article.
Give us an example of that. What would be a good article versus a good book? Like, what topics would you stick in each one?
So, for example, if you're talking about, let's stick with marketing generally. If you're talking, so the book I wrote was about content marketing. And so there was the overarching concept of content marketing, as well as all of the different moving parts that go into making content marketing successful and profitable. So there are many, many things that go into that. And it would be very hard to summarize that into an article. Whereas if you're, say, talking about just one element of content marketing, then that would be better as a blog post or an article. So, for example, whereas the book has, I think, 10 or 12 chapters, if I just wanted to talk about one chapter, that would be better as an article. So say we were just going to talk about writing content that's SEO friendly. That would be an article. To make a whole book out of writing content that's SEO friendly is going to be a stretch.
How do you go about inserting calls to action into the books?
So that's a really important factor. And that's a kind of key element of making the book perform. There are multiple ways to do that. I think the best way is to have a resource page set up on your website that you can direct people to throughout the book. So, for example, you might just add a footnote saying, you know, to download this swipe file, go to www.resourcepage. Or, you know, if you've got some, you know, if you can make sort of multiple small calls to action throughout the book, driving people to a resource page or driving people to a Facebook group, or, you know, just getting them to take multiple small actions as they're reading. And another way you can do that is by having action steps at the end of each chapter so that they get in a rhythm of engaging what you're telling them and sort of taking a next step every time you kind of come to a conclusion. That's really, it's kind of a good way to train them to respond to your final call to action, which you put at the end of the book saying, you know, this is everything that we do. You know, if any of this stuff has really resonated with you, or you think that it's going to be really powerful for your business, contact us here and, you know, we'll schedule a discovery call or whatever. You know, you tailor your call to action appropriately to your business, but have a really clear, really strong call to action at the end of the book so that they've sort of been trained all the way to respond with action throughout the book, and then get to the end, and like it's just another natural next step to act on something you're telling them.
So is that the typical funnel? Would it be come and check out this resource, and then on the resource page, you get the resource, and maybe an email follow-up, get on a call, or do you see it as something else?
It really depends on what function the book is serving in the business. So for some people, the natural thing will be send them to a page, get their email opt-in, put them through an email funnel, make them, you know, a very small paid offer, you know, a tripwire, and then, you know, gradually sell them up and up throughout your product sequence. Or you can, you know, get their email, get them on a call, you know, verbally sell them on whatever your big offer is. There are many different ways that you can do it. And again, it does depend on your particular offering and sort of the way that you sell that within your business. But yeah, you do want to make sure that you're connecting the book with a next step sort of along the funnel.
So would you say that's something that needs to be figured out before you even write the book, correct?
Yeah, ideally, you definitely want to have an idea of what you're going to do with all of these readers once you've got them.
Very cool. So the next question I ask every single writer, and okay. I want to know your favorite books from the last year.
Written in the last year or read in the last year?
Just the ones you've read, like the ones that made the most impact. And I find writers come up with the most interesting ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. So the standout book for me in the last year is Behave by Robert Sapolsky. It's an enormous book. He's a neurologist and has written this huge study on what makes humans behave the way we do. So he goes really, really, really deep. And it's sort of down to the very molecular level all the way out to, you know, evolution from millions of years ago. So it's a really, really interesting look at how humans react in all different kinds of situations. And I mean, I'm a giant nerd, obviously, so I love the science stuff, but I also think from a marketing perspective, it's fascinating because you can see why people respond to certain things in particular ways. And I think just the more you know the brain and, you know, people's sort of psychological construction, the easier it is to find the best ways to help them and to sell to them and to, you know, make sure that you're positioning yourself in a way that's positive to them. And it's just super interesting. So that's a big one. There's just been tons of stuff. I read a lot, so it's hard for me to narrow down.
Take your time.
I'm just going to pull open my Kindle real quick and give you a list. So one book that's great for writers, which I try to read every year or so, is On Writing Well by William Zinsser. So if you do write a book on your own, that's a really, really handy book to have by your side, just because it will give you, if you get stuck trying to put a phrase together, it will find you the solution basically immediately. That's a really, really useful book. I've read several times. The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan, super interesting book on like the history of food and how our food is produced. The Sixth Extinction by Elizabeth Colbert, which is basically about the geological development of the world. I have a very eclectic kind of reading, but I feel like the more widely you read, the better a writer you become, because you get exposed to so many different styles, so many different ways of thinking, so many different vocabularies, and, you know, just the way different people put their material together varies so much that the more it's kind of like having just a different lens that you can apply as needed. You know, there'll often be, you know, I'll be reading something and it's completely irrelevant to whatever I'm working on, but I'll think, oh, wow, that turn of phrase was so great. Or, you know, that particular way of explaining something was so precise. And it gives me another tool to apply to my own work. So I think in terms of, like, the books themselves are probably not that important. It's the getting a different tool from each book that you read that is important.
Yeah, I like that. Now we'll go into one of your secrets.
My secret.
Well, maybe. What is the formula for writing a title for a best-selling nonfiction book?
I think the thing is to explain clearly what the reader is going to learn from the book without making it so obvious, like, or making it too obvious. So you want it to sort of give them a pretty clear idea, but not so much that they go, oh, okay, well, I get everything that you're going to talk about. I don't need to actually read it. Again, the title is, I mean, it's much like a headline when you're writing copy. You want it to be to stop people in their tracks, grab their attention, and then make them read the next thing, which is either the subheading or the subtitle, or, you know, open the book, read the sample, whatever. So it's basically clarity without being too obvious.
Do you have any resource that you go to for that?
No, it's basically a case of writing down every single idea that comes to your head. I try to write, say, 100 different titles, and then, you know, pick the best ones. So it's just a process of elimination a lot of the time, or sometimes once you've written, you know, so many possibilities down, then one really jumps out at you, or you feel like you really love a particular one. The positive side of having, say, a Facebook group or an email list specifically for the book is that once you've written this big list, you can take, say, the top 5 or 10 options to them and say, what do you guys think? And sometimes they will give you a really, really clear answer, or it will be completely a mix. And so if it's a really clear answer, then obviously just go with that one because it's obviously like struck a chord. But if it's a complete wash and there's just no clear winner, then pick the one that you like and that you think is going to have the most likelihood of making somebody stop and pick it up.
What are some big plans and goals for you for this year?
Okay, well, if I, depending on how this workshop goes, I'd really like to do some more of those. I'm going to be at a lot of events this year, so just making sure that I'm connecting with people who, you know, want to write their own books and that can really help, you know, get a huge result from writing those books. Yeah, at the moment, I'm just sort of in this steady growth period business-wise, so I'm just kind of trying to make the most of that and work at a consistent rate so that it just continues to grow.
You know, if you look back on the last year or two, what's the biggest hiccup or something unexpected that happened that you kind of, you know, it was like a big lesson?
To be honest, I haven't had any really big hiccups, but I've had a few really positive lessons. Basically, I mean, I'm not a natural public speaker. I'm not spotlight seeking. I'm quite happy doing podcasts and everything, but speaking in front of people is not my bag. And so I really have avoided trying to find events to speak at or anything like that. But a client I've been working with, his name is Brian Kurtz. He ran Boardroom direct mail business for a long time. And, you know, they sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of stuff through direct mail marketing. He's since retired, but he's running these big masterminds all the time. And so we've been working on his book, and he asked me to come and speak at one of these big events. And I just thought, like, oh, like, I can see how big an opportunity this is, but I just so don't want to do it. Just because the idea of getting up in front of people is just very stressful. But I thought, you know what, you've just got to get over this. You've just got to go and do it. And it turned out to be really easy. And I thought, I've been just psyching myself out of all of these things for so long because I'd never done it before and just assumed that it was going to be a particular way. So that was a great lesson in, like, if you've never done something before, don't assume it's going to be terrible. Just go and try it, see how it goes. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that's awesome. Laura, where can people find you?
So my website is laurahanley.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. Just search for Laura Hanley and I'll be there. Those are probably the easiest options.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast. with Tom, the digital architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.